and you are here for another episode of This Conversation Rocks. I'm Diane.
And I'm Todd.
And tonight is all Ben Carson, all conspiracy episode. Woohoo!
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to start off with the conspiracy of the week, or maybe du jour, whatever. Of the season, right? The seasonal affective disorder, known as the war on Christmas. And I just want everybody to know that I have my satanic cup of coffee right here in front of me.
You've got your red cup.
My red cup. So, and I'm enjoying, and boy, it was a $5 cup, by the way. So I'm really enjoying it.
Goddamn, really enjoy that satanic cup of coffee.
It is chestnut praline latte. So there's holiday for you.
I have no words.
It's pretty good.
Okay, I might have to give it a try. It's probably $6 up here.
Yeah, price is slightly higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
I am drinking a vodka tonic, so here we go.
Here we go.
Going to ask you how you've been.
It's been a week.
Yeah.
A couple weeks, whatever. You know? Here's the thing. I would be doing a whole lot better if Ben Carson would drop out of the race.
But not until this episode is put up on iTunes and our website.
In fact, it's my prediction that by Thanksgiving, he will be deciding to spend more time with his family.
Or separating conjoined twins. Which actually is not a conspiracy. That really is something that he does do.
And he's pretty good at it.
That's what I've heard.
And so I would just like to encourage him to go do what he is, in fact, good at. Because politics isn't really his thing.
Have you looked since we proposed this episode? Because it's been a few days for me since I made notes. And he was pretty much neck and neck with Trump at that point for the top of the Republican heap.
And I think he still is as of right now, but that's because this episode hasn't aired.
Well, and you know, the other thing is there's another debate tonight.
Yeah, and I don't have the results or anything, but I'm sure, well, because Trump got up on it on Sunday on the talk circuit.
Oh yeah, and was whining about not showing up for it, right?
Well, no, he was just talking about, you know, Ben said some odd things, you know, and I hope he gets through all this okay, because I like him, but the things he said have been kind of odd.
Oh, yeah. And
like, it was like, for Trump, it was like subtle.
That's exact. And I was thinking, and Trump hasn't said odd things in his time? Okay.
Right, but, you know, if you want to hear more about Trump, please refer to last week's episode. All Trump, all the time.
We're going to have to do like an all Hillary or an all Martin O'Malley or an all Bernie episode at some point just to keep it real.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought we should go back and look at the numbers. And
of course, then we'll just be partisan, right? You know, and of course, if you haven't figured that out by now, why are you listening to us? No, I mean, in all seriousness, we do. It's not that we're nonpartisan. Absolutely not. And if one of the Democratic nominees wants to come up with some of the statements we're going to talk about tonight, we'd be more than happy to do an entire episode on them.
So I am going to, you invited it, so I'm going to say it. Hillary is completely echoing every position Bernie Sanders has ever taken.
Right, yeah, she's all of a sudden found her progressive traits.
And I'm kind of disgusted, but she's still a better choice for me than the occupants of
Ben
the town car. So I thought...
Well, not to get too far down the Hillary thing, but, you know, Hillary, like... Hillary's entire campaign seems to be, it's my turn. She made some outrageous statement about couldn't be more out of the box by electing a woman. You know,
because
generally,
a socialist Jew is just commonplace.
Overall, I wish she had more than just, it's my turn.
It's my turn and I have a vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
See, you get to say that. I don't get to say that. If I say it, then it sounds sexist.
I could be sexist, but you can call me on my sexism.
Sure, but I mean, if a woman's insulting another woman,
it's a little easier to swallow.
Right.
That's probably not the best choice of words, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, if a guy says the same thing, man, then all anybody's going to talk about is, man, that dude Todd, he's an asshole. What a fucking sex dick. You know, I mean, all 12 of our listeners, but...
Right. Well, Kirk told me he was listening, so we might be up to 13.
13. We're back to 13. I think we got up to 13 before we blew up over the last several months. But hey, here's the good news to our listeners, right? We're going to get this one posted this week, and that will be 3 weeks in a row. We got 4 episodes up in 3 weeks.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for us, like, you know, shake our hands, pat us on the back. Send feedback to Brian Williams, care of NBC News.
Because he's working there again.
Yep.
All right, so Ben, our friend Ben.
All right, first of all, here's a few things about Ben Carson.
Okay, right? So this is Act One. This is kind of our reintroduction to Ben Carson after we talked about him a little bit last week.
Okay, if you want to call it Act One, we'll call it Act One.
I want to call it Act One. Make me happy.
Your brain needs 3 things, right? Okay.
Act One, Act Two, Act Three. That's what my brain needs right now.
But, yeah, so Ben Carson, this is taken from Wikipedia. So Carson, who had been registered as a Republican, changed his registration to independent in the 90s after watching the Republicans impeach Clinton for perjury and just saw so much hypocrisy in both parties.
Okay, I'll go you one better. He actually said at one point he was registered as a Democrat, but then he became enamored of Ronald Reagan, St. Reagan, and switched to the Republican Party.
Okay, but there's nothing that indicates that other than him saying it. And we're going to talk about why him saying it is not reliable.
We're
going to
talk about him saying things.
It's not reliable. Okay.
So
this is interesting. On November 4th, 2014, the day after the 2014 midterms, he rejoined the Republican Party.
Oh.
Saying it was a truly a pragmatic move because he was considered running for president.
So he's been in the works for a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, it just makes you realize that...
Party affiliation doesn't matter?
Well, not to him, it doesn't. He'd clearly be running as a Democrat if he thought that would get him somewhere.
If that were the pragmatic choice, absolutely. So the numbers from before we posted this podcast. Last time I looked, this was a poll of Republicans done by NBC and the Wall Street Journal. Carson was at 29%, Trump at 23%, Rubio at 11%, Cruz at 10%, and Bush at 8%. All of the other candidates still in the race were polling under 3%.
Right.
However, and this was an interesting point in the write-up of the same poll, it's a poor predictor when you look at November of 2011. Herman Cain was leading, and people hardly knew who Mitt Romney was.
Right, and by the way, we'll talk about how the Republican primaries work here in Act Two, because it's critical to understand this piece.
Okay, very good.
So here's Carson, no political office experience at all.
So what do we know about his story that's true?
Well, what we know about him is that he thinks he should be president.
And he has a huge ego, apparently, when you look at his portraits in his home, which I think I did post that link to our Facebook page.
I'm really impressed with the Bible verse out of Proverbs or Proverbs. That was it.
Misspelled. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes.
Proverbs.
I mean, here's something that I found out, and I was just kind of looking at his story, and now I question how much of this is even true. But supposedly, so he's 64. He was born to a single mom in a working class neighborhood.
Who he tried to violently assault on multiple occasions.
According to him, but that's been disproved, right?
Well, nobody's confirmed it, that's for sure.
He was a top scholarship student at Yale, and then he went to the University of Michigan Medical School. And this was interesting. He had a, quote, distinguished career in surgery and management at Johns Hopkins. Now, I can tell you, as somebody in healthcare, and you know this, you're not exactly a slacker if you get to work at Johns Hopkins, you know?
I wouldn't think so.
So, he must have done something right. There must be something firing correctly inside the brain.
Right.
Or there must have been.
Right. Because he is no longer, he is a retired neurosurgeon. He doesn't do that anymore.
Correct.
He's written 6 best-selling books published by Zondervan, which is an international Christian media publishing company.
Which tells you everything you need to know.
The first was an autobiography published in 1992. 2 others were about his personal philosophies of success, which include focused, high-quality work and what he sees as stabilizing influence of religion. In 2013, he was hired by the Washington Times as a weekly opinion columnist. But just for the record, the Washington Times is the paper owned by Reverend Moon's organization.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so take it for what it is. In October 2013, Fox News hired Carson as a contributor.
Take that for what it is.
Which lasted through the end of 2014. Okay, so, but, you know, the thing that's going on this last week is that nobody really paid attention to Carson. Then all of a sudden he's surging in the polls. So when he got surging in the polls, people actually started reading his book.
Which is the book called Gifted Hands, right?
Right. When they started reading the book, certain things came up that, you know, seemed a little curious. And the media, you know, the media outlets, and let's be clear who we're talking about. We're not talking about Dodd and Diane. We're talking about CNN, ABC, NBC, you know, the major news guys, you know, have all started looking at it and they've had a few problems. And should we just run through a list of the problems that we have right now?
Well, so, you know, the one that I know of, and this is actually off of Right Wing Watch, is that in his book, he said he was young and hot-headed and he was very violent, and turning to God saved him from his violent temper. And supposedly he attempted to stab a classmate, and the rest of his classmates have no idea where that came from him and came from. And actually refer to him as always mild-mannered and, quote, skinny and unremarkable, end quote.
Exactly. other problems that have come up. Apparently, when he was at Yale, he was in a philosophy 300 class where, according to the story, the instructor posted a notice saying that the finals had been mysteriously burned up, and everybody was going to have to retake the final, but it was going to be harder. And all of his classmates walked out in protest, but he stayed there. And the instructor came up to him and said it was all a hoax and told him that this was to find out who the most honest person was in the class.
And my immediate response mentally, which I will share out loud, is, dear mother of God, really?
Right. So here's the thing, right? Of course, they went to Yale and they asked, and there are a few problems here. First of all, this story never happened, even though there was supposedly a Yale newspaper person there. So there's there's nothing in the Yale paper about this from the time period. But probably more importantly is that the class didn't exist that he describes.
Wow, good research. I did not find that at all. I got kind of trapped in the whole, I was a violent and angry young man until God saved me.
Right. So it appears... It appears that he was lying about being honest.
That's beautiful.
I just want that to sink in for a second. I am lying about being honest. Out fucking standing, sir. Okay, and then so a few more of on the greatest hits list. There was the violence thing. There is also this story that he told, not in that book, I think, but in the one that just came out. I believe. But anyway, he alleges that he was in Baltimore at a Popeyes during a holdup in which he avoided being shot by telling the perpetrator to focus on the cashier, which, okay, that's a dick move in the first place, but...
Yeah.
And you're proud of it, but okay. But here's the problem. Baltimore PD has nothing on that event. No record of that at all. Now, you know, people will say, well, maybe the store manager and stuff didn't call the police afterwards. And maybe he didn't, but that would kind of be odd that they didn't.
I don't know. Conspiracies abound.
And, well, but, so I really want to know what a devout vegetarian is doing in a Popeyes.
And I would like to know what a devout Christian is doing saying, hey, point your gun at the other dude.
Yeah, so this is starting to look problematic. He also claims that in 1969, he met General Westmoreland, who offered him a full scholarship to West Point.
Yes, I heard about this too.
But the problem is that there's no evidence of that story happening. And this was the first story that got out in the wild and stuff. And there was a way that they could have talked this back, but they did not try to talk it back. Carson came out and said, basically, CNN's full of shit, that they're trying to just railroad him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made this very, very strange quote in the context of all of it. What are they doing? They're trying to prove a negative. Well, so, trying to prove a negative would mean trying to prove something that didn't happen, sir. So he may have been speaking truth there in a way he just didn't intend.
And, you know, here's the other thing. And I posted the little snippet from The Daily Show on my page. I'll try to remember to post it on our website or on our Facebook page. But he actually has publicly said, if you put me under the kind of if you can prove to me that anyone else has been scrutinized the way I have been scrutinized, I will take all of this back. I will take all of my complaints back. So Trevor Noah, God bless his heart, started just listing out all of the ways that Barack Obama was scrutinized during his run-up to the presidency and during his presidency. And, boy, Mr. Carson just doesn't have much of a leg to stand on.
Right, and before him, George W. Bush with his time in the Moose Mounties. I'm sorry, the Texas Air National Guard. And, you know, and all the allegations around that. And before that, Bill Clinton.
And
I don't
his
know.
Many mistresses or right. whatever. Well, yeah.
What was the financial scandal that they always kept trying to...
Oh, right. The one that Vernon Jordan was supposedly involved in and killed over.
Right, yeah. That. Yeah, all
we're,
of that.
We're
right.
back in the whole conspiracy realm again, which we'll get to eventually because, you know, and, this is the Ben Carson episode.
And, you know, we go before that, Gary Hart.
Right.
You know. I mean, you know.
But no one has ever been scrutinized like Ben Carson.
Dude, if you got skeletons in the closet, why are you running?
Or at least put a lock on the closet, for fuck's sake.
So there was Yale. There was the West Point thing. So this guy was not... So, I mean, his story is that he was a violent guy, violent kid, which wasn't true, until he found God, which we'll assume is true. But after that, he was not offered a scholarship to West Point. He was not the most honest student at Yale. it's like, what is wrong with this guy?
Right. His narrative of being the most honest guy in politics and being the most persecuted guy in politics both are not accurate.
It's bizarro. I mean, it truly is bizarro.
You know, I really honestly, and here we go, I'm going to lose listeners again. You know, we're up to 13. We're going to drop back to 10. I really honestly thought there wouldn't be anything more bizarre than Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, no.
I was apparently so wrong.
Yeah, and the thing is that he's attacking the media, which is, of course, what you do every time when somebody digs up something. Righteous indignation is the last bastion of the guilty. Anyway, so this guy is kind of got a problem. He's got a very strong credibility problem at this point. Now, what'll be interesting to see is how this hurts him or doesn't hurt him in the polls. But I would be willing to bet that Noah Trevor was just the beginning of what should be a long couple of weeks of the late night host using him as a punchline.
He certainly is getting a rich and powerful grouping of memes on Facebook. I'm enjoying those.
Clearly a dog park built by Noah after the flood.
AKA Stonehenge, for those who haven't seen it.
Right, and so we'll talk about...
the conspiracy that actually sparked these, the conspiracy theory that actually sparked these, which is true. It did come out of his mouth.
Yeah, so there's a couple... So we mentioned last week, of course, this odd statement / odd fact or conspiracy that he put forward.
So are we moving about, into Act 2, the Conspiracy Act? Or do we have anything more to say about his background?
I don't have anything more to say about his background. He's never held elected office. He has no voting records to judge. Oh, unless we want to talk about the things that he has said.
Well, I did some research into his political position, so certainly if we want to talk about any of those, I've got some info about those.
Well, then let's talk political positions.
Where would you like to start?
Number one, guns.
Okay, let's go start. For it, because I actually did not write down his position on guns, because I figured it would be so fucking stupid it wasn't worth my time. Not that any of this really wasn't stupid. Go for it.
Yeah, well, he just recently said that he said a lot of things. He said, first of all, the Nazis came and got the guns, which is factually incorrect. It wasn't owning weapons in Germany wasn't exactly a common thing.
If you were a peasant anywhere at that point in time, owning something that actually fired a missile weapon, or, you know, that actually fired a projectile, was really not very common.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, if you lived in a rural area, you had a shotgun or a hunting rifle, right? And if you lived in the city, you probably didn't have much of anything. Not uncommon. But yeah, anyway, he said that they came and got the guns, and then that made it easy, and easy to murder 6 million people. And if the Jews had had guns, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
which is just a sad misrepresentation of the reality of the situation. Because even if they'd had weapons, the Nazis had an army.
Yeah, I mean, right? I think we will definitely talk more about his pulling of the Hitler card, because that just drives me crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, though, he did state in 2013. That he thought that semi-automatic firearms should be better regulated in large cities and high crime areas.
Okay, I live in rural Alaska. We hunt things for food.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care.
If you need a semi-automatic weapon to kill a moose, if you need a semi-automatic weapon to kill a caribou, you're a shitty hunter.
Well, right, but that's not what he was saying. He was saying
right.
Should be better regulated in large cities. You guys don't have one of those.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, I just don't think there's a place for them, so.
But he said in October of 15 that there is no doubt that this senseless violence is breathtaking, but I never saw a body with bullet holes that was more devastating than taking the right to arm ourselves away.
Oh, dear God. So tell that to somebody who just lost their kid in a school shooting.
Right, you know.
You know?
Which, we'll get to fuck that guy, but it should be Ted Cruz. It should be Ted Cruz for his statements about Sandy Hook.
We can reserve an honorary place for Ted Cruz. I mean, I don't think he'll ever really leave the fuck that guy hall, so.
So that's firearms, right? Where do you want to go?
So I looked him up on theissues.org and just took some of his choice quotes, and he apparently is giving a tremendous gift to those of us who have uteri, who can actually carry children. He thinks that there should be a ban on abortion if the mother is more than 20 weeks post-fertilization. He does not make exceptions in the case of rape, incest, or the health of the mother. But it sounds like up to 20 weeks, he's actually possibly pro-choice.
Yeah, okay, so let's clarify that. He has equated abortion to slavery. He supports overturning the 73 Supreme Court decision known as, oh my god, the world ended, or the rest of us call it Roe v. Wade.
He does, in fact, say that Planned Parenthood is a way to systematically decimate the black population.
Right, he has said, in August of 15, he said the number one cause of death for black people is abortion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying what on issues said about his medical.
Yeah, I mean, but what do you say to that? The number one cause of death for black people is abortion.
Boy, I think I'd have to come back at him with some gun statistics, but.
Yeah, or, you know, I don't know.
Racism?
Age related. I mean, yeah. The thing is, man, we don't die from everything, but.
Well, you know, and not to get too medical and not to get too offensive, but African American people have a much higher risk of diabetes and hypertension than right. your average Caucasian does. So right. let's just look at that.
Right.
So on the budget, on economy, he is a free market supporter. He says the free market works and we should let the economy work the way it's supposed to, which basically means all you sad sacks out there who are failing, it's your fucking problem.
Although, and I will give him this one thing, he is actually support, he does actually support reinstating Glass-Steagall, the Depression era law that separated commercial and investment banks and that was repealed in 1999.
Good.
Thanks, Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
See, you know, I know who fucked us. And it was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton really rolled over to the Contract on America and said, Newt Gingrich, have your way with me.
In a lot of ways.
So I'll give him another little bit of credit. I looked up his statements about crime, and a year ago he said that he actually supported the outcry against the arrests that had been made in the case of driving while black.
Right.
He actually is in support of the use of body cams on police officers. So got to give him a little credit there.
Right, and I'll give him a little credit on this too, right? He says that the current minimum wage should be higher, probably or possibly should be higher. He also supports indexing minimum wage to inflation so that we never have to have this conversation again. And actually, I got to be honest, that makes a lot of sense
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually not a bad idea, provided we do it in a rational way.
Right, minimum wage thing is a whole nother topic for another day.
And I got to tell you, Hannah, someday we will do it.
Right, but you know, the thing is if you do believe a minimum wage is the right thing, then indexing it to inflation makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It does.
You know. What else?
How about civil rights? So I'll hit him on this one, and this is not nice. He says that being gay is a choice. He says that this is proved by men who are gay for this day when they're in prison, or men who come out as homosexuals after they've been in prison. And I am just here to tell you that I don't think it's a choice. I think that we all kind of fall along the spectrum of sexuality, and some of us are really straight, some of us are really bi, and some of us are really gay. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And prison made you gay? That's okay. Jesus Christ, man. All right.
Being anally raped made you gay.
Absolutely. In fact, he did say in March of 13 on Hannity, marriage is between a man and a woman, no group, be they gays, be they NAMBLA. You know who NAMBLA is.
I was going to say, just for our listeners who don't know, those are men who love boys, so we're talking about pedophiles.
Right. People who believe in bestiality, it doesn't matter what they are. They don't get to change the definition.
And he also had a quote prior to the SCOTUS ruling about gay marriage that made it national law, saying, give gays the rights, but not marriage, because being gay is a choice. Which I totally don't get. That statement has no logic whatsoever, but he did say that.
Right. Well.
He also is against affirmative action. He says that underdog status is no longer determined by race, so he thinks that affirmative action should be done away with.
Because he succeeded.
Because he went to Yale and worked at Johns Hopkins.
After getting over his violent youth.
Right. After not stabbing someone because that person had a giant belt buckle that prevented him from being stabbed. Did you catch that part of the story?
I did catch that part of the story, and it's like, well, what did you do? Just, fuck it. He's got a belt buckle?
I'm thinking that dude was a rodeo guy because I have never seen belt buckles that are better than on my rodeo peeps.
WWE.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's fair.
In a 2014 op-ed piece, he said that the First Amendment's Establishment Clause has been reinterpreted by progressives away from its original intent.
Okay, explain that to me.
To try to impose one's religious beliefs on someone.
Oh, no, I know what the first, I know what it is.
No, I'm quoting him.
Oh, okay.
To try to impose one's religious beliefs on someone else is absolutely what we should not be doing. That goes in both directions. Okay.
Except, it doesn't go in both directions when you're Ben Carson.
Right, because...
because he's a Christian.
And?
A Seventh-day Adventist.
And?
I don't know, you lost me there.
Does not believe that Muslims should hold elected office in this country.
I think he should tell Representative Keith Ellison that.
Yeah. And, you know, many, many others who have elected office, you know, maybe not at the federal level, but state, local, you know. So yeah, when asked, should a president's faith matter to the voters? He replied that if faith is inconsistent with the values and principles of America, then of course it should matter. So do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution? To which Carson said, no, I do not believe so. I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
So I've got a couple of responses. You know where I'm going. You know, first of all of the research is showing that our nation is turning away from formal organized religion.
Right.
There was a study that came out this week that actually said that children who are raised in formal religious training are worse people, less ethical people than kids who don't get taken to church and have something shoved down their throat every Sunday.
Well, I mean, Carson's kind of the poster child for that.
So, just saying, just putting that out here and leaving it there. Well, that kind of dovetails into his stance on education, which according to the website that I quoted earlier, on theissues.org, he said that our public education system has become a propaganda tool, which basically means that, you know, if it says anything bad that he disagrees with, it's propaganda.
Right.
So.
Right. And it does tie into his general belief that somehow we are just this side of becoming Nazi Germany.
Absolutely. He has said that.
Many times. I don't know what kind of education he got at Yale, but apparently the definitions of fascism and democracy escape them. If you're becoming a neurosurgeon, apparently you don't take civics. Okay. That's cool. I'm good with that, but. If you want to run for public office,
you should probably take civics.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to talk to one of our medical students the next time we have one in the clinic and see what their requirements are for undergrad. That'd be really interesting.
You could probably avoid political science classes if you're doing something.
I'm sure you can, or there's probably political science for dummies.
Well, did you take any poli-sci classes?
No, I've got to be honest with you. My social sciences were philosophy and psych and human sexuality.
Right. And you're
so
a nurse.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. Oh, let's see. What else?
We should get into what are euphemistically known as controversial viewpoints.
Would those be the conspiracies?
Yes.
Okay, we can move on to the conspiracies. I'm good with that. So,
all right. So should we start with the pyramids of Giza?
I absolutely, because that's been very present in the media this week.
Yes, and that's because in a 1998 commencement speech at Andrews University, Carson publicly expressed the view that the pyramids of Giza are not tombs, but grain silos built by Joseph, the biblical son of Jacob, in preparation for the famine depicted in the book of Genesis.
So for those of you who don't know who Joseph was, you can watch the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That'll get you close.
preferably the version with Donny Osmond.
There you go. That would be perfect. So one of our listeners pointed out that this was quite a while ago that he said this. I believe it was Judith who said this. And that she had hoped that he had evolved. And I said, yeah, I think he probably evolved on this about as well as he evolved on any of his other positions.
Well, in fact, 2015, Carson reiterated his views. However, archaeologists disagree, saying the pyramids could not be used to store grain because they are not hollow.
So what I would like to know is how he explains the bodies. Did those people just get trapped in their gold sarcophagi in the grain silos?
I don't think he thinks there were any bodies in there.
Aha!
He did also add, though, a while back, that various scientists say ancient aliens could have design the structures. But to Carson, it doesn't require an alien being when God is with you.
Right. So the thing that I read was that he had reversed himself and now is totally discounting any alien intervention.
Well, at least he got that part.
That's kind of what I was thinking. So I did some reading about his ties with a conspiracy theorist named W. Cleon Skousen. Have you heard of this guy?
No, but probably for good reason.
So he is considered by the National Review, which we both know is one of the most conservative news organizations out there, as an all-around nut job. I quote, this guy came into prominence in the 50s as an anti-communist crusader. He claimed that a global cabal of banks controlled the world from behind the scenes, and he wrote a book about the blessings of slavery. And this is a guy that Ben Carson has taken a lot of his conspiracy theory from, one of which is that that marijuana is a curse to black people, that basically we're using that to control people who are African-American.
Well, shit, when we know that we're using that to actually control hipsters.
So I have something interesting for you. Speaking of just conspiracies in general, I did a Google search to see what numbers I would get for Ben Carson and conspiracy, and I recognize that they're not all directly related to his conspiracy theories, but it was greater than 6 million hits. So yeah. How many hits do you think Santorum has?
I don't know.
A little greater than 5 million. Ben Carson has 1 million more hits than Santorum does.
For conspiracies.
Uh-huh.
By the way, if you have not Googled Santorum lately, please go do so. We'll wait.
3, 2, 1.
Thank you.
Let's see. He said our nation was founded on God, and by this I'm assuming he means the Christian God, and that's the reason that we were able to walk on the moon.
What?
Yeah, that was, I just Googled Ben Carson and conspiracies and kind of looked at positions, and that was one of the things that came up. So the only reason that we were capable of achieving space flight and a moon landing was because our nation was founded on a Christian God.
Physics, McDonnell Douglas, the skunk works at Grumman, and Boeing had nothing to do with it. Okay.
Well, you know, the Russians do want to investigate the moon landing again. And as we mentioned in our conspiracy episode, there are people who say that it was completely fabricated by Stanley Kubrick. So there you go.
Right.
So, you know, what have you got? Hit me.
I'm kind of stunned from that, but actually, I'm really stunned by that. But in March 2014, when asked about his previous claim that Americans were living in a Gestapo age, Carson said that the United States is very much like Nazi Germany. There you had a government using its tools to intimidate a population. We now live in a society where people are afraid to say what they actually believe due to the PC police, politicians, and media, which stifle people's conversation.
I really am not seeing anybody being stifled in this race on either side.
Oh my God. You people get to say, I don't believe I just said that, you people, but there's a group of people who are getting to say that Starbucks is waging war on Christmas.
With red cups. Red and green cups, I might add.
I'm pretty sure that the fucking First Amendment is still in play here.
So this actually plays well into a prophecy of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that Carson espouses, both the church and the prophecy. So he has indicated that he believes that Seventh-day Adventists will be imprisoned and put to death because they celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday and not Sunday.
Because the Jews were murdered in Nazi Germany.
I was totally going there too, man. I was like, that's gotta be the reason Hitler was pissed at the Jews.
Right.
I shouldn't laugh. It's horrible for me to laugh, but yeah.
We now live in a society where people are afraid to say what they actually believe. I don't know, Ben. Are you listening to our radio show? podcast, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's interesting. I was watching Anthony Bourdain's show on CNN last night, and he was in Istanbul.
Oh, interesting.
And he's meeting with a gal that he knows, right? And he's asking her some questions. They're talking politics. And he asked her some question about the current president. And she's all, you know, I'm really just not comfortable answering that. Okay. That is living in a society in which people are afraid to say what they actually believe.
Thank you. That is exactly where I was going to go with that.
You know, or maybe we should be talking about
the repression of Russia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Russia, Putin, you know, just, pick, or, you know, pick your favorite third world banana republic shithole.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there truly are monsters out there, and they truly do terrible things to their people. President Obama has done nothing terrible to his people.
How can you say that?
Well, because my thought is being controlled.
There you go. Okay, I've got another one for you that I really liked, and I brought this up last week, but I think it's so funny, and there is an addendum. So we talked last week about how Satan was behind the theory of evolution and actually possessed Darwin to write the theory of evolution.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not just the theory of evolution, but anyone who espouses the Big Bang theory also is being pushed in that direction by Satan. This is from an article in Mother Jones talking about Carson and all of his various conspiracies.
You know, the thing that really pisses me off is that it's not just about Carson. It's just, you know, that point of view in general.
Well, you're drinking science, that Satan coffee, so.
Science works in this in the following way. We come up with a theory, we test the theory, and as long as the evidence supports the theory, we stay with the theory. So we've stayed with the Big Bang for quite a while because the theory is holding true. However, if anybody can convincingly prove that that's wrong, then we will abandon the Big Bang theory and we'll move on to something else.
Well, exactly. And that is where I was going to go with that is, you know, in medicine, we have this thing called evidence-based practice, which means we practice to the best of our knowledge. But when new research comes along and changes guidelines, we change our practice to reflect current guidelines and current theory.
Yeah.
It's science. That's just the way science works.
Science. How does it work? Oh, that's how it works. Okay, good.
If we could actually get Bill Nye on the podcast.
Oh my God. We should ask him, you know.
That'd be pretty cool. He talks to Neil deGrasse Tyson. We're that cool.
Yeah, we're definitely that cool. In fact, we need to get all 14 of our listeners out there putting together a petition for Bill Nye to appear
Bill Nye on our show. There you go. All right, Hannah, Judith, it's up to you.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in the nation since slavery.
He also compares it to the Holocaust.
It is slavery in a way, because it's making us, all of us, subservient to the government. And it was never about healthcare. It was about control. What the fuck?
You know, I'm just dissing, and this may not even be remotely accurate, but I would like to see his record on taking paying cases versus taking uninsured patients. Maybe he has a great record. I know some physicians who are like that. They'll take any comer. But I also know some physicians who basically say, interesting case, shame about the insurance. So I just think it'd be really interesting to know where Ben Carson stands on that.
And by the way, he thinks that everybody should be given an individual health savings account unless you are 5% of the patients with complex pre-existing or acquired maladies.
Is he proposing that they get some sort of
similar to Medicare. Similar to Medicare.
Oh, that socialist trap.
Oh my God.
Let's see. So one of my favorites is that Marxists in the United States have infiltrated at all levels, including the PTA. And the plan is to destroy the United States from the inside out. And Barack is part of this issue. Barack is a Marxist at the top level.
When you say PTA.
I am saying the Parent Teacher Association. Yes. Don't choke. I need you.
All right. Let's wrap this up.
Okay. Do you have any conspiracy that is just burning that you would love to say to finish this up with?
It's not a conspiracy. I would just like to point out, though, that he compares us to Hitler more often, according to the Washington Post, more often than anybody else.
You know, and I've got to be fair, the Hitler card got played a fair amount during George W. Bush's presidencies, but for someone to play it even more...
Yeah.
Before he's even in elected office... That's pretty bad.
All right, well, so... all right, let's shake it all off. Everybody, just shake it off.
All right, so where do you want to go?
We're gonna wrap this up with a little interjection of not so much common sense, but just reality.
Okay, you go.
All right, so the thing about the Republican primary system that's odd, but is deliberate... is that the primary, you know, when you're running the primaries and stuff, right, the red state primaries count less than the blue state primaries for the Republican delegates.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Interesting.
So blue state, which is going to be more moderate Republicans.
Oh, okay.
Say, like, all the big ones.
Sure.
California, all, you know, New York. All of them.
Sure, they're going to go for somebody like Rubio, like Bush, somebody who's a little less offensive.
Right, which is why, if you recall last time, for the longest time, Romney was number two or three in every primary. Right? He didn't win any of the primaries until much later in the race when people were forced to drop out.
Right.
And it's also, you know, so you would get Herman Cain, 999 guy.
The pizza guy.
Be at the top of the pile, but he couldn't stay there, you know, because they'd go to another state and they would, and somebody else, you know, I mean, everybody got up there, right? Michelle Bachmann, I think, was the number one for
I think it was in Iowa, but she was at the top of the straw polls, pretty sure.
So yeah, just some reality about the Republican clown car is that some of the more moderate guys are going to, if they can find a way to stay in it, like Rubio seems to be gaining some momentum and stuff, he's got a good chance of doing really well when this thing actually moves into the primaries.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't think Bush is going to hang in there.
Yeah, it's weird. But I think Bush has failed. I think Bush has really failed to convey any kind of message that anybody's remotely interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He bungled his campaign you know, from the get-go. He's running like he ran 20 years ago. He doesn't really get social media and everything else.
So. Right. So who do you think it's going to be? You think it's going to be Rubio?
And I think Rubio has a good chance. I mean, it could be, you know, but it could be Bush when it's all said and done, too.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure it ain't going to be Carson.
You think it's going to filter out Trump, too?
Possibly. We'll have to see how it plays out. But yeah, I think Trump can get filtered out through the system. Because, you know, what they got right now is the red meat for the masses for vote.
Yeah.
And that's not how the primary system actually works. So we'll see what happens. But yeah. Yeah, so while we had a lot of fun at his expense tonight, we hopefully did highlight the one or two things that we think are actually decent views that the guy holds. But honestly, I don't think this guy's going to be here past the end of the month just because of the things he said, the scrutiny he's receiving, and the fact that his narrative has turned out to be questionable at best.
I think it will speak very poorly of our country if 50% of our country continues to put faith in this guy after all of this stuff that's come to light.
Right. Well, but keep in mind, it's actually never been 50% of the
right country. There you go. It's been 29% of that 50%.
Yeah. Well, and that's assuming that it's actually 50% Republican, which this country is not. Democrats outnumber Republicans by a significant margin.
I hope you're right. I've never actually looked at the numbers, so I just am hoping you're right. And I believe that you are, because you pay attention.
I hope so.
So, onward and not necessarily upward to fuck that guy?
Yeah.
Unless you have more to say about Carson.
Oh, 31% are Americans, identify as Democrats, 29% as Republicans, and 38% as Independents.
I don't see very many independent thinkers out there.
No, independent is just a convenient way to show your disdain for the parties, but you're still going to, independents still kind of vote pretty much for one or the other, right?
Sure. I mean, to be honest, I think I'm registered as nonpartisan or as independent. I can't remember. I'd actually have to look at my voter ID card. I think it's nonpartisan because in Alaska, you get associated with the Alaska Independence Party, which, no, thank you.
Well, and I think, and I mean, that brings up another thing too, right? The whole independent voter thing. These are, the primary system in your state greatly dictates how you're going to register.
Sure, it does. Yeah, because depending on how you're registered, it dictates which primary you vote in.
Right, you know, so you get some states that have open primaries across the board, and you get some states that have closed primaries, you know, and it's completely never happened where people who were firm Democrats have registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary. But, you know, it's interesting, right? Because the California primary system now, weird, right? So now it's the top two vote getters in the primary go to the general election. So we've had, you know, Democrat v. Democrat in some of our districts down here in the last couple of years.
Interesting.
Yeah. Weird.
So not even a Republican on the ticket.
Right. Not in the general.
That's really interesting.
It's weird. Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about this last week too, though, you know, the grand old party ain't what it used to be.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. I mean, in California, they're basically decimated. Orange County and North County, San Diego.
I guess people who really, really wanted to vote Republican could write those candidates in still, correct?
Again, it depends on the primary system, right? Because
really?
Because if you're voting a Democratic primary, the only ones you're going to see...
Oh, no. I mean, I'm talking about the general election in California.
Oh, yeah. You can always write somebody in, but...
Yeah. But we know how well write-in candidacies succeed.
Yeah. Been a few in California that have worked, but it's not very common. Not very common. But anyway, back to the point about just ending this on the Republicans again. You guys do need to get your house in order and bring better candidates to the table.
Yeah.
But fortunately for you, your party has designed a primary system in which the drivers of the clown car are forced to get out. So
that's a really interesting analysis. I did not know that, so I thank you for that information.
All right, and now, fuck that guy.
All right, so you agreed with me that this guy should get fuck that guy this week. So this guy is a doc who is an emergency room physician. His name is Wayne Tisdale. I received this via Facebook, but I was told by someone on Facebook that this was actually... I'm sorry, Wayne Tisdale is the person who posted it. I'm lying. The person who wrote it is actually a physician named Starner Jones. So again, Starner Jones is the person who wrote this letter. It came to me as a letter that was addressed to the president. I was told by one of my friends on Facebook that it actually showed up as an editorial in a newspaper initially. But here is the content. Dear Mr. President, during my shift in the emergency room last night, I had the pleasure of evaluating a patient whose smile revealed an expensive shiny gold tooth, whose body was adorned with a wide assortment of elaborate and costly tattoos, who wore a very expensive brand of tennis shoes, and who chatted on a new cellular telephone equipped with the popular R&B ringtone. While glancing over her patient chart, I happened to notice that her payer status was listed as Medicaid. During my examination of her, the patient informed me that she smokes more than one costly pack of cigarettes every day and somehow still has money to buy pretzels and beer. And you and our Congress expect me to pay for this woman's health care? I contend that our nation's health care crisis is not the result of a shortage of quality hospitals, doctors, or nurses. Rather, it is a crisis of culture, a culture in which it is perfectly acceptable to spend money on luxuries and vices while refusing to take care of oneself or, heaven forbid, purchase health insurance. It is a culture based on the irresponsible credo that I can do whatever I want because someone else will always take care of me. Once you fix this culture crisis that rewards irresponsibility and dependency, you'll be amazed at how quickly our nation's healthcare difficulties will disappear. Respectfully, Starner Jones, MD.
Yep.
So, my immediate response after fuck that guy was that this guy is making an awful lot of exceptions, or awful lot of assumptions about the people that he's taking care of.
Yeah, and because it fits his narrative. Yeah. It fits the narrative that he wants to believe, which is that he is above everybody else.
Right.
Or above a certain, at least a certain segment of the population.
Or that he deserves that iPhone, or he deserves that new tattoo, and that other person doesn't because they're on the dole.
Right.
It bugs me on so many levels. It bugs me because of the assumptions. It bugs me because we live in this pleasure-denying society that says, you can't have any vices, you can't have any pleasure, business is business first. And I'm not saying that people don't have to be responsible adults, but I'm also saying, for fuck's sake, give people a little bit of a break. You know, let them have something that's a pleasure or something that's a joy or that's frivolous. Just because you get your healthcare from Medicaid dollars doesn't mean that you should live a life that's completely barren of pleasure or frivolity.
Right. And it's part of the narrative, though, that the poor deserve to be poor and we don't have to take care of them because they're poor because of the choices they made, not the circumstances of which they came into this mess.
Right. I totally agree with your interpretation of the narrative. And
it's a narrative. It's a disgusting narrative. And if you want to talk about conspiracies for a second, to me, it's clearly a narrative perpetrated by the rich.
That's designed to keep the rest of us down.
Yeah, to keep the middle class from looking at the rich.
Yeah.
We look at the poor and we blame the poor, which makes no fucking sense, yeah, right?
Exactly.
I'm the 1% for taking all the wealth, you know?
And you know, here's the other thing. You never know where that stuff came from. You right. don't know what kind of circumstances that person had before they ended up on Medicaid. You don't know who gave them a gift, you know? That new phone could be a gift. That fancy tattoo could be a gift.
Right.
You do not know that person's circumstances, and you should not judge.
Or the whole thing could have been a made-up. He was just pissed and decided to write something that day.
Sure, he absolutely blew something up, yeah.
There's no way to verify it. It's an op-ed piece, or not even an op-ed piece. It's a letter to the editor.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I work in healthcare. I see people with tattoos who get Medicaid. I don't know what their circumstances were before they didn't have any kind of insurance or before they got Medicaid dollars. But you know what? When I see them in front of me, there's a reason that they're seeing me. There's a reason that they need what they need. I'm not making this shit up, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is that the ability to pay for a tattoo or even a new pair of shoes in no way is equivalent to having a job in which you can afford healthcare.
Exactly. As a healthcare provider, I'm not going to deny somebody a $4 prescription for blood pressure medication because they've got new Nikes on. Yeah. It just made me mad. And you know, one of my friends who's a nurse who I really love reposted this because she wanted it to be passed on in support of this guy. And I was like, yeah, I'm passing on because I'm saving it for our fuck this guy segment.
And so,
fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right. So hit me with your oh, by the way.
So this really interesting story I picked up last week. One of the guys who worked for the BBC radio for 40 years was the voice of BBC for a long time. Passed away. But one of his odder job assignments back in the 1950s was that the BBC decided that if England was attacked with nuclear weapons, there would not be time to broadcast. So they had him pre-record the broadcast in case of a nuclear attack.
Oh, how interesting.
And the tapes have been circulating around, and there are parts of it on the internet and everything. And anyway, so it was this really interesting piece because this gentleman passed away. And it's just a piece of Cold War history, right?
What's this guy's name, if people want to look for him?
Yeah, it's Peter Donaldson.
Okay.
Okay. So that's my, oh, by the way, that I decided to go with, although there were several things that came up this week.
There were some good ones. So mine comes from the Christian Science Monitor as my primary source, but it's about Texas, specifically Houston, which on, let's see, Tuesday the 5th of, I'm sorry, the 3rd of November, they voted down the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, which was also called HERO, and it would have established non-discrimination clauses for LGBT people, such as in places like restaurants or hotels. So you can't discriminate against someone because of their sexuality. You can't refuse them a meal or a hotel room. Well, it got taken out by your friend and mine. This is a callback to our RFRA episode. The bathroom. Everybody's totally still freaking out about who's in your bathroom. I am not kidding. So it had a 61%... Do that for me again. Just make me feel at home.
RFRA.
All right. Thank you, Scooby-Doo. So this Houston Equal Rights Ordinance got voted down by 61%. And the real reason was, is that right before the vote, there was this big campaign saying no men in women's bathrooms. Once again, not recognizing that someone who has made a gender transition is no longer male. She doesn't consider herself male. She may or may not have male parts, but that's not what's going on in that person's head.
Right.
Not considering that. So that was the whole freak out about it. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick in Texas said that the law was never about equality. Equality is already the law. It was about allowing men to enter women's bathrooms and locker rooms, defying common sense and decency. So that's my oh, by the way. Texas has it backwards again.
Oh, Texas, Texas, Texas.
So everybody is still worried about who's using your bathroom.
That's right.
So I have a Neil Gaiman quote, of course, to take us out on. And I actually thought this would be appropriate for Ben Carson. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Life is always going to be stranger than fiction, because fiction has to be convincing and life doesn't.
That's right. That's
right. And on that note, oh, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to be seeing Neil Gaiman on Saturday night.
I'm so envious. Oh my God.
You could too. Sell the horses, move to Los Angeles.
Yeah, but you know, I looked out my window this morning and I saw Jupiter just running across his new digs, bucking and farting and being crazy, and I was so happy for him.
Well, there you go.
So, you there know. You
go. Okay. All right, well, turn the recording off. We're done.
All right. On that note, everybody, we hope you have a good week, and we will see you again in about a week.
Yep.
And you can throw Todd some love at his business if you are looking for an IT guy. I'm not going to say your business name out loud because I don't want your poor business to be associated with this podcast. And you can throw me a little bit of love by going to the Biters Facebook page and liking the podcast that I've started working on for The Walking Dead. So Absolutely. Hopefully we'll see you guys there. Have a good week.